hard hit this past week, but we're continuing to trust God on your behalf and that He's going to continue to be your strength. Amen. Continue to lift that family to the Lord. As God brings them to your mind, how many are going to be faithful to pray for that family? Yeah, let's do that. Let's make sure we do that this week. Did Leisha slip in without me knowing? Where? Leisha. No, I don't see her. I'm sorry. I got to be more articulate with my words. I was looking for Leisha Horsley. I don't see her. Maybe she'll slip in here in a little while. If she does, that'll be fine. I want to recognize we've got, over the past several weeks, months, we've had numerous folks joining the church in membership. Now, we understand you don't have to be a member of this or any church in order to go to heaven. We get that, right? But we do understand that there's something special when God begins to knit the hearts of people together and they decide that they want to make something official and become an official part and lend their name in membership to a church. And so this over the past several weeks, Leisha Horsley, I don't see her. When she comes in, we'll make sure we recognize her. We'll do it in a different setting, and I got a card here for her. But a couple of folks that have already gotten their card, membership card, that we haven't recognized publicly from this podium is, and your wife just slipped out, Ben, is Ben and Amy. You know, they've been a part of our church family for a good number of years now, and they are officially now members of the church. And so I don't know where Amy went, but Brother Ben, could you just stand up? We want to just thank God for you. Thank God for you, brother. Amen. God bless you, sir. I want to thank you publicly. She's coming in now with Priscilla. Yes. We'll give Amy a hand clap too. Amen. She's like, what in the world's going on? No, what we're doing is we're just thanking God for you and your affiliation with us as members. And so I want to thank God. This is a family that is not only folks that we love, but they are an integral part of what God is doing here. I understand you had some plans to go to Nigeria this summer. And they seem to have at least been put on hold for now. And I think that you being here at this critical time is exactly what God had in mind. So you want to, let's make sure that we continue to welcome them and love on them. If you have never had an opportunity to hear Brother Ben minister, come out Wednesday night. He's going to be leading our prayer service on Wednesday night. And just thank God for you. Thank God for you. God bless you. Thanks so much. Amen. Amen. There's a number of announcements that are found in your bulletin. Again, I'm not really in the habit of reading to people who can read, but a couple of things I do want to remind you of. We do have, coming up next Saturday, is the Father and Child. We were going to call it Father-Son, but there's some who don't have sons, and so we don't want anyone to feel left out. But there's a Father and Child Fishing Day. Next Saturday, and I've already signed up. There's a number of people that have signed up, but there's some who intend to go who haven't signed up yet. So there's a sign-up sheet out on the table in the foyer. I'd encourage you, if you want to be a part of that, go ahead and sign up for that. Also contained in your bulletin, there's a couple of extra copies on the table in the foyer, is this, update current information. So we want to make sure we have the latest information, mailing address, email, ways that we can contact you. So if you haven't filled one of these out lately, fill one of these out, and you can either come and put it in the offering boxes here, or you can give it to me, or you can give it to any one of the leadership council members, or to just anyone that, Lisa, Barbara, anyone like that. Just make sure that you turn that in so we can make sure our records are up to date. Before we get into the actual message time, we want to do something special today. And for this part of the service, I'm going to turn it over to our student pastor, Pastor Rob.
Now we're live. Well, it's so good to be back here. The last two Sundays we were out of town, one in Jamaica, actually both Sundays in Jamaica at that point. And we were happy to be there, no doubt, you know, sitting on a beach, but we weren't in church or anything, so we're so happy to be back and to worshiping with you all. That's our food, and that's what, that's what lifts us up every week, is coming to worship with you all, our mighty God. So we're happy to be back here. So this time we wanted to recognize our five graduates. So we only have two out of the five here this morning. There's a lot of commitments that they have going on. But on this side, we had Nigeria Watkins and Daisha Ware, our females that are receiving just a little gift. And then our males, we have Jay Kang, Stephen Cannon, and then also Landon Trent. And we were thinking, you know, what could we possibly get these guys to show our appreciation and to send them off? And, you know, the first idea was, you know, another Bible. And, you know, I asked a couple of our students, I was like, well, how many Bibles do you guys actually have? Well, one said he had five, the other said he had about six or seven. So I was like, well, I don't think you guys need another Bible, do you? And they're like, no, we don't need another Bible. So I said, well, what's something that we could get them that they can hang on to over the years that will remind them of their faith and encourage them? That's something that can sit up on their shelf and that when they're going through a tough time or they're just, you know, their eyes are hanging low, you know, they can just look up and they can be reminded of that truth and to pursue in their spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. So we tried to do something along that line that, you know, they can put in their room or in their college dorm or wherever they're headed that they can turn their eyes to and be encouraged by that truth, a symbol of, you know, something that the Lord had spoken. So for the females, I'll just go ahead and read this little passage of scripture. It's only about seven verses for what we got the females, our lady students. It comes from John 12, and it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, the one Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha was serving him, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. And then Mary took a pound of fragrant oil, pure and expensive nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. So the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. Then one of the disciples, Judas, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this fragrant oil sold for 30 denarii and given to the poor?" He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and he was in charge of the money bag. Jesus answered, he said, "Leave her alone. She kept it for the day of my burial, for you will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." So one little thing that we thought that we could put, which is nothing more than water and crystal light that I found in the kitchen over there, was just, I thought it kind of looked like the fragrance of oil, you know, the perfume that Mary had, you know, dedicated to Jesus' feet. And it was just a simple truth that, you know, no matter what these ladies are going through, that they can just sit at the feet of Jesus, that they have a heavenly Father that they can count on, that they can, you know, whatever their prized possession. And I've only learned that this week how important, when I'm moving in with Sam, how important the perfumes and the fragrances are, as she has a whole collection in our bathroom now. It's very emasculating, but I've learned how important this is. So this was probably very important to Mary, but she dedicated it to Jesus, and she sat at his feet and enjoyed Jesus while Martha was busy serving him and stuff. But just, ladies, remember, just sit at the feet of Jesus. So we got them, you know, not just a bottle of water. We also got them some things from Bath and Body Works as well. But that was just a truth that we wanted to remind our young ladies that are going to be sent off. And for the young men, we got them something a little cooler. I don't know if you can see here, but man, this just excites me. I don't know, us men are just like, whew, yes, come on. So we have the sword of the Spirit here. Unfortunately, this one didn't arrive yet, but the helmet of salvation, and then also the shield of faith. Now, before I give these out, I must admit that not one of them is more noble than the other, because God calls us to put on all of these every day, right? So when you guys receive these, it's not because, I'm not very noble, I'm not a fighter, I must be weak. Or No, it's nothing like that. But one that I thought that the Lord was more specific to you guys. So Stephen and Jay, if you guys just want to come up here, I just wanted to say a little bit. So the first one, since he's not here, the helmet of salvation goes to Landon Trent. I just, you know, how many of you guys know that the Lord's given us a sound mind, you know, to worship the Lord? And, you know, with that mind, the enemy also, you guys can just have a seat real quick. The enemy tries to attack that sound mind sometimes too. But what the Lord does give us is a helmet of salvation to protect that mind, that we can, you know, maintain pure thoughts and we can stay the course with our mind and fight doubt. And he's given us the helmet of salvation for that and to remind us of that, because that's one of the biggest lies that the enemy tries to, you know, put in our head sometimes, that we're not saved, that we're not walking the walk, but we're comforted with the truth and the helmet of salvation. So that one goes to Landon Trent, which I'll have to give to him another time. The next one is the shield of faith. Now, if you guys know about this one, Scripture talks about the fiery darts of the enemy and how he tries to throw those at us and tries to attack us with that. And now this young student, he's going off to Iowa State to study probably engineering, right, in the next couple years. And I can imagine, you know, a state school, there's going to be some tough battles for your faith. So we wanted to send you off with the shield of faith, Jay, that you can protect yourself from the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, it's not very big, and we were kind of joking that, you know, this isn't a big shield. It's kind of an archer shield, but Pastor Ron was joking, you know, it's not the size of your faith, but it's the faith that you have in Christ Jesus, which is big. So, Jay, we want to give you the shield of faith. Here you go, man. And then also your bag. There you go. Yeah, man. Thank you so much. Yeah, Jay's a part of the Korean church, but he's been sitting in on Sunday school with Lisa, and Lisa is just an awesome minister of the Lord, and she really just kind of bridged that gap between our ministry and the Korean ministry Sunday morning. So thank you so much, because without you, Lisa, I wouldn't have got to get to know this great young man and just work with him and to minister with him and grow with him in the Lord these past couple months. Isn't that right, Jay? So that's awesome. And I guess by process of elimination, Stephen, we know what you're getting. But the sword of the Spirit is also referred to as the Word of God, right? Now, for those of you who know Stephen, he doesn't say a lot all the time. But when he does speak, it's always well thought out. It's always seasoned with salt. It's always very tactful. And it's always good. He's great when it comes to discussions and leading our groups in, you know, just, you know, I guess just good discussion about the things of the Lord. Now, I once heard that, you know, the sword of the Spirit and men in general, they're kind of like, Barbara, you might want to help me, scalpels? Is that what the surgeons use, right? Scalpels? Now, they're very dangerous. Now, when you put them in the hands of something dangerous, it can do a lot of damage. But if you put them in the hands of something of the Lord, that's something that can do, you know, a great work, man, it's very, very beneficial. So, Stephen, we want to give you the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that you, when you go forth and when you speak, that it's always seasoned with salt and it always points things back to the Lord. So, Stephen, there's the sword of the Spirit, brother. And there's your present as well. And there's a little sleeve for it, so you're not walking around with a, you know, a sword and you're scaring any of the elderly people. So, yeah. But I guess at this time, we just wanted to pray over these guys. You know, they're going out in each individual. I think these two are going to CVCC. I'm not sure. Landon's going into the Marines, I think. Hopefully, Lord willing. Daisha, I think she's continuing nursing. And Nigeria, I'm not sure what she's doing. But we wanted to pray over them. So if these students mean something to you or you want to pray a blessing over them, why don't we come up and just pray over them? If you're their family or anything, we're gonna pray a blessing over these guys as they go out and they've just graduated high school. So come on up real quick. This is too weird for you guys, but we got to pray over you too, right?
Thank God. Amen. Amen. That's all Stephen needed was another sharp object. in the house. I appreciate that, Pastor Rob. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. Amen. All the time, God is good. Praise the Lord. Well, Sandy, thank God for that testimony. Amen. Amen. Was there anything you wanted to add to that? Or you can if you'd like. If you don't want to, that's... Yeah, we want to... The Bible says they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Let's give testimony, shall we?
Now, I'm always behind the scenes. This is very nerve-wracking for me, but the Lord's teaching me to step out. This was a hard road for me because the last 4 years I've had 4 hernia surgeries. And I started losing a little faith, but talking to Freddie and Barbara and Pastor Ron really helped. And this last surgery, I went in for a CT, and they told me the mesh had come loose, and they were looking for another hernia. Freddie and some other people prayed over me, and when I went in for the surgery, they said, like my husband said, everything was fine. I had a stomach infection. That was gone. There was nothing wrong. So I came out with just 3 little incisions. But the Lord spoke to me and told me that to share this, that it doesn't matter what you're going through, physical, it doesn't matter. There's a reason why you're going through it. I mean, 4 surgeries, this would have been number 5th, but God stepped in, and it's his timing. We cannot lose our faith. We need to trust in God to take care of it, because he will. He's not going to let us down. And I was praising when my husband told me that everything was fine. And I thought, this time God stepped in. But we have to remember, it's his timing. We want stuff done right away. It could be a year down the road that God says, no, this is my timing. And I just thank God that he answered my prayer, all of our prayers. And thank you so much.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I hope that you heard that now. If you're here today and you're struggling, you're going through something and you can't make sense out of it and you're trying to figure out why, and you're really even maybe wondering if God is sufficient, you have living proof right in front of you today. God is more than enough for every situation you're facing. There's nothing that he can't do. Get that. We got to get that through our minds. There's nothing that he cannot do. Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, praise the Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, we hear and receive what you're saying to us this morning. Lord, we hear and receive. We respond properly to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we will draw near. Lord, we will press in. Lord, we will go deeper. Lord, we want more. We want more. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us this morning that it's not just us on the hungering side, but you hunger to work among us, Lord, and we thank you for that. Amen. 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 Don't want to take anything for granted. We want to use every opportunity as an opportunity to make sure God and his word is exalted to its proper place. If you happen to be here today and you're not really sure what just took place, just make sure that you're understanding we are a full gospel church. And one of the things that we believe in is we believe in the ongoing, continuing operation of the spiritual gifts. And one of the spiritual gifts is the gift of tongues. And whenever the gift of tongues is exercised in a corporate setting like this, it should be accompanied by interpretation of tongues so that the body of Christ can be edified and built up. And that's what we experienced this morning, was the gift of tongues immediately followed by the interpretation of those tongues, which in turn built us up and encouraged us in our faith. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God. Thank God for that. Amen. And so we respond favorably and we say, yes, Lord, we hear what you're wanting to do among us, and we're going to do our part in seeking after you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to continue in our series today. We took a little hiatus last week. You got that logo for me there, Jake? I'm putting him on the spot. There it is. Yeah, If My People. We took a little bit of a break from the series last week when my family was out of town, which, by the way, thank you. Thank you for your gracious allowance of us to just go and get a few days away. It's not like we've earned it yet. I mean, but it was already on the books. So please thank you for your indulgence in that. And as always, Brother Fred stepped in and did a remarkable job. And we thank God for the fact that this church has just so many qualified men and women who can just step up and just get it done under the anointing of the Spirit. So thank you, Brother Freddie. Thank you for that. Not only the service last Sunday morning, but even the closeout of our home groups last Sunday night. We want to thank God for all that was accomplished with that. But we do want to pick up with the series today. The whole series that we're doing on If My People. We've kind of come to a determination that God is calling us, not just the body of Christ in general, but us specifically here at Love and Truth. He's calling us to a special season, a special dedication, a special focus on prayer and seeking after Him. Boy, last Wednesday night, did we have a service? You know, I hate to even say that, because have you ever noticed how if you ever have to miss something, whether it's a church service or a birthday party or whatever, if you've something you really want to be a part of, but for whatever reason you just had to miss it, inevitably when you go and say, "Sir, how was church?" "Oh, it was amazing. It's never been that wonderful. It's too bad you couldn't be there." And you know, of course, on the very Sunday, I'm not there. Well, good news is you don't have to miss this Wednesday. You can be here. But last Wednesday, boy, I'll tell you what, it was just a special anointing for prayer. Those of you that were there, you can back me up on this. It was something extraordinary. It was just different. I mean, God is always with us when we pray. We get that. But there just seemed to be just a special unction, a special whatever that was just obvious and real, tangible almost. I was walking this aisle praying, and I just felt impressed. I just felt firmly, God wants to baptize someone in the Holy Spirit tonight. I just felt that. But, you know, how do you transition into that? And that's not normally what we do on a Wednesday night. And then when we were just trying to wrap things up, Sister Amy just come running to me, and she had this urgency. "Pastor Ron, Pastor, I just feel like that the Holy Spirit, that someone needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." And I was like, "Oh, okay, there's my confirmation." And so we gave that opportunity. We actually had someone baptized in the Spirit this past Sunday night, past Wednesday night, right here on a Wednesday night. So we thank God for that. We thank God for that. Amen? So we encourage you to be here and be a part of that. But this is all in line with this whole focus and this whole season of prayer that God is calling us to. If you'll remember, our theme scripture is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You can see it there. So go ahead and turn there with me. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. We probably know it by heart, but we don't want to take that for granted. We want to make sure we have it in front of us. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. And if you will, just kind of stick a finger or a bookmark in there and turn with me to another scripture as well. The first scripture, 2 Chronicles 7, 14. The second scripture I want us to look at today is Joel, the book of Joel, chapter 2. Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. So 2 Chronicles 7, 14, and you've got a bookmark in there, and then Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And you kind of want to keep that one marked as well, because those are the two scriptures we want to look at today. Let's look at the Chronicles scripture first, shall we? It's our theme scripture for this series. You ready? 2 Chronicles 7, 14. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We established in the very first message that God is not calling the sinner to repent before he calls the church to repent. Hello. We have a responsibility as the people of God. We can't expect the lost folk to act saved when saved folk don't act saved. Hello. And so right away we understand we're not going to stand on our high elevated podium and preach down to the sinner. We understand God is speaking to us, the body of Christ. We understand he starts out by saying, if my people. Remember in the first message in this series, we asked the question, how can we even know if we're God's people? What is it that distinguishes God's people from those that are not God's people? And our determination was plain and simple. It's the presence of God. Sister Amy prayed it just a few moments ago. We've come to the determination, God, if you don't go with us, we're not going. Unless your presence goes with us, we're staying put. Because it's your presence that distinguishes us from everyone else. And we even determine that it's because of God's presence that we can meet with him. Think of that. Puny old us. Because of God's abiding presence, we can meet with God. And because we have the opportunity and wonderful privilege to meet with him, we have the responsibility to move with him. And we learn to discern the leading of God when we meet with him so that when he moves, we can move. And that was what we discovered in the first message in this series. And then in the second message in the series, we were reminded that the key that all of the rest of this whole verse hinges upon is this idea of humility. Humility. If my people would just humble themselves. If you'd humble yourself, you wouldn't have to be humbled. And we understand that humility is much more than just thinking poorly of ourselves. Actually, it's on a greater level, it's thinking more highly of others. And if in the process I have to recognize my own deficiency, that's okay. But my focus is not so much thinking of how much of a worm I am as much as is recognizing the image of God in you. Humility is recognizing and esteeming others. And it is recognizing who God is. Somehow, if we will truly recognize who God is, there really isn't much room for boast in that, is it? And so we understand that humility finds its emphasis in recognizing the value of others and recognizing how awesome and esteemed God is. And that tends to put me in my appropriate place. We also understand that a part of humility is a willing response. It's not just a willing, it is an eager response to the promptings of God that when he pricks our heart, remember that whole thing about my cousin, whenever God would prick her heart, she was eager to make it right with God. So we understand that that's what's meant when we talk about humility. So if my people, the ones who are characterized by my presence, if they would simply humble themselves, if they would recognize who they are in comparison to everyone else in God and be eager to respond to my leading, if those people, and then we get into the heart of today's message, if my people would pray, and seek my face. If my people would just pray and seek my face. Now we get to the part of this passage that calls us into a kind of prayer that is more than just surface deep. Listen, I thank God for the prayers that I learned as a child, and I thank God for the prayers that we've taught our children growing up, you know, the God is great and God is good and let us thank him for our food. And now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I thank God for all of those prayers. I really do, because it teaches, and even in the smallest ones, it teaches and builds in that discipline and that idea of prayer. And so I thank God for that. But this is different than that. This is the kind of prayer that leads to the seeking of his face. It's a prayer that is more than surface deep. It's more than just a memorized phrase or two. It's something that calls us to a level of intimacy with him that can't be demonstrated any other way. This is the kind of prayer, if you'll read the rest of the verse, you understand that this is the kind of prayer that sets God's plan for healing and revival in motion. We're going to get there. We want to get to that part where God hears us. We want to get to that part where God forgives us. We want to get to that part where our land is healed. But we set that process in motion. And by the way, that's God's desire. That's not something that we can generate. Left to our own, we will degenerate just as surely as I stand here. It's God who desires forgiveness. It's God who desires healing. It's God who desires restoration. It is God who desires revival for us even more than we desire it for ourselves. But how does this process that God desires begin to take root in our heart? It begins to take root in us, and that process is set in motion when we pray and seek his face. Here's a challenge for you. Anybody like history? I'm a history buff. I love history. So good. For you history buffs, here's a challenge for you. Try to find one time throughout church history when there was a move and a revival move of God that wasn't started in prayer. I'll go ahead and let you know, you'll not find one. Every great move of God throughout all of history was started and birthed in a place of prayer. And so we understand that if we're going to get to the hearing, if we're going to get to the forgiveness, if we're going to get to the healing, if we're going to get to the revival, we understand it has to be birthed in this place of prayer. And so, if my people will pray, and seek my face. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. You got your finger there. Ready? Joel chapter 2, 12 and 13. Here it is. Even now, declares the Lord. Even now, declares the Lord. Return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. That sounds a little more like, that sounds like a little bit more than now I lay me down to sleep. And by the way, again, there's nothing wrong with that. My kids pray that, especially the little one. He prays that every night. Now, he's actually learned, and when he gets done with all the memorized part, then he just goes off. I mean, he's still praying for his teachers in school. School's been out for weeks now. He's still praying for teachers. He's just the nurse at school. He's just all, you know. Thank God for that. But this sounds a little bit deeper than that, doesn't it? If he says, if you would return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Verse 13 says this, rend your heart and not your garments. Let this be an internal work. I'm not really so much concerned about what you're doing on the outside if it's not affecting what's happening on the inside. If you have to choose between an outside appearance of humility and a true, genuine humility of the heart, choose the heart. Rend your heart. Not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. Now, if you are someone who underlines in your Bible, I want you to underline these next few phrases because this, we got to understand this. We got to understand. The next few phrases are real key for us. It says this, for he is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger and abounding in love. You want to know what God desires for us? You want to know what the end result of this kind of praying is? It's the awesome, merciful blessing of God. You see, when we pray these kinds of prayers, we've got to get it out of our mind. We're not going to God and trying to twist his arm into doing something that he doesn't want to do. It's not as if God is sitting back saying, no, You guys are a bunch of rotten, filthy sinners, and I don't want to bless you at all. And so then we pray, and we go, oh, God, please, let me twist your arm and see if I can convince you to do something that you don't really want to do. No, no, no. See the heart of God on the matter. You think you want healing? You think you want revival? You think you want restoration? See what the heart of God is on the matter. He's gracious. He's compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. Wow. So when we pray and we ask God to show us compassion, we're agreeing with the heart of God. When we pray and ask Him to shower us with His love and His forgiveness and His goodness and His graciousness, we're not asking Him to do something outside of what He wants to do already. We're actually agreeing with Him. Lord, we recognize You to be gracious and compassionate and slow to anger. We understand that it's Your desire to not judge us. And so we're agreeing with that. We don't want that either. We want Your love. We want Your compassion. Oh, wow. That changes the whole scenario, doesn't it? So now when we pray and seek after His face, it's not as if we're chasing after something unattainable. It's not as if we're asking for something that is out of line with His purpose for us. We're actually falling right into line with what He desires for us all along. You see, God desires to bless His people. Don't ever forget, God is good. God is good. You see, He wants to hear. He wants to forgive. He wants to heal. So how do we then, what's the practical application then of appropriating this goodness that God has? How do we take God's desire and bring it to pass in our lives and in our church and in our community? How do we do that? Well, there's two things that I want to point out to us. One of them is attitude. And the other one is action. Attitude and action. We already talked about the attitude. The attitude we discussed in the second message in this series. And that attitude is one of humility. But just as a reminder, humility is the attitude that prepares our hearts for the blessing of God. Otherwise, we go into His presence with a sense of entitlement. Or, on the opposite end of that, we go into His presence thinking that we're so lowly and such a worm and such a scumbag that God would never want to bless us, and God would never want to pour out His compassion on us. And neither one of those is accurate. Humility helps us to know who we are, but more importantly, it helps us to understand who God is. And God is good. Don't forget that. God is good. Yes, if He wanted to, He could fry you right where you stand, but He doesn't want to do that. God is good. God is gracious. He's compassionate. He's merciful. That's the God that we're seeking after. So when we say we're going to seek after the face of God, that's what we're going to find on the other end of the seeking. Praise God for that. So the attitude of humility teaches us that. It's an attitude, again, that reminds us to consider others. It's an attitude that remembers who God is. It's an attitude that is quick to respond to the Spirit of God when He quickens our hearts. But true humility, an attitude of true humility, will always be followed by action. And in this case, the appropriate action to a humble heart is praying and seeking God's face and turning from our wicked ways, turning from our sin. And so if the attitude is humility, the action, number one, is prayer. Listen to this, what one author said about prayer. Prayer, he says, is welcoming the mind of Christ and the authority of His role so that our prayers line up with God's holy determinations of mercy in light of His power to judge. Simply said, He has the right. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows me better than I know myself, and He has the right to judge us based on what He knows about us. But the prayer of humility joins in and aligns itself with the mind of Christ and says, although I stand condemned simply because I am a sinner and I was born that way, and although I stand condemned, I understand that the heart of God towards me is one of love and mercy and compassion. Therefore, the mind of Christ says, seek after me and find forgiveness. Even though he has the right to judge, it's not in his heart to judge. It's in his heart to show love. Prayer defined, if you look up the dictionary definition, this is one of the definitions that comes to the surface. It says, prayer is to make an entreaty and a supplication, or an earnest and humble request. An earnest and humble request. One of the things about prayer that I found, even if I go into a time of prayer, and I feel pretty good about myself when I start that process, inevitably, the more I pray and the closer I get to Christ in prayer, I find myself less and less sufficient. It's as if you were it's as if you were wearing a dirty garment. And as long as you're standing in the dark, you don't realize how dirty it is. But as you draw near a source of light, the closer you get to the light, the more and more apparent the stains on your garment become. And so I find that as I draw near to God in prayer, I realize more and more and more my own deficiencies and my own sinfulness. And maybe that's one of the reasons that we're so reluctant to pray this kind of prayer. The prayer of humility that recognizes who God is inevitably is going to cause you to recognize who you are as well. And that's something that sometimes we don't want to deal with. Recognizing the holiness of God means that I have to recognize my own lack of holiness. And so praying this kind of prayer invites correction. It actually invites conviction, the kind of conviction that would lead us to pray, God, we lack power. Now, occasionally God will show up like he did last Wednesday night, and we see some awesome demonstrations of his power. We saw something last Sunday as well, an awesome demonstration of God's power for healing. And we'll see those things scattered here and there, and I think the more we seek him, the more we're going to see those things. I really do believe that. I believe God is setting us up for a place of healing. I believe that. The folk that don't even know us are going to start learning, hey, I can go there and get and be prayed for. And there's folks there that are operating in the gifts of faith and the gift of miracles, and things are going to happen. I believe that. I really do. Amen. Thank God for that. I really believe that. I believe that's God's will for us. But when it's all said and done, truthfully, we have to confess that we don't really possess the power. And I'm not just talking about us here. I'm just talking about the Pentecostal church in general. We have to confess that we don't possess the power that we claim. Otherwise, no one could come in sick and leave sick. Otherwise, we could walk into the nursing home and clear it out. We could go to the hospital and put them out of business. I mean, I'm speaking hyperbolically, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, there wouldn't be a single person addicted to drugs in our community if we really possessed what we say we possess. And so we have to confess. When we see ourselves in that light, when we seek God at that level, we have to understand, even with all that we have, there's a lot that we don't have. And we are powerless. And as many things as we do, the body of Christ, and this particular body of Christ, as many things as we do, we still lack compassion in so many ways. And I'm speaking for myself. You know, we give out a sack of groceries here and a free car wash there, and we pat ourselves on the back. And then we read a newspaper article or a magazine article or something on social media, and we say, filthy sinners! And I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And so when I approach God in that kind of humble setting, I have to recognize I'm not like Jesus. He's full of compassion. And I have fits and spurts of compassion. And we have to understand that when we invite this kind of scrutiny in humble prayer and seeking after God, we're going to come to the conclusion that we're idolatrous people. Oh, maybe we don't set up idols to the goddess Kali in our homes. But anything, anyone that we set up and place in a position of priority in our lives over and above Christ has become an idol to us. God, forgive us. And we're a greedy people, and we're an immoral people, and we're a violent people. And you could go on and on and on. Well, who do you think you are? Listen, I'm right with you. We're all in the same boat together. None of us are like Christ. I want to be. You want to be. Well, how do we come to that conclusion? We come to that conclusion when we humbly seek after Him and we realize how great He is and how ungreat we are. Get it? I don't know if ungreat is a word, but it is now. You can use that. So when we pray in humility, it's with the hope that the determinations of God, remember the determinations of God to bless and show compassion and heal and bring forgiveness and restore and revival. You remember, those are the determinations of God. So when we pray in humility, it is with the hope that God's determinations for us actually become a reality. And we remember that He's full of love and full of compassion. He could be full of judgment and He could be full of anger towards us. He has the right to do that. Don't forget, He does. He knows us. And He's holy. And He has the right to take that position. But He's taken the position of, I want to bless you. I want to heal you. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. I want to restore you. I want to revive you. That's the determinations of God on our behalf. And humble prayer joins us with the determinations of God to say, yeah, God, we want that too. That's what we want for us. We want for us what you want for us. And so we join God. And we agree with Him in humble prayer. Praying means taking the time to welcome the Holy Spirit. Prayer means repentance for failure to esteem and receive and to yield to God's correction. Prayer means putting ourselves willingly in a place that will reveal our true state before God. And then being willing to do something about it. As I said before, I'm convinced that this is one of the reasons that so many of us, and I include myself in us, I think this is one of the reasons so many of us don't pray this kind of prayer is because we don't necessarily want to see what we look like on the other side of it. Because if we ever see ourselves for who we are, we have an obligation to turn to God and ask for forgiveness. And it's easier just to go on. If I never look in the mirror, I don't realize how dirty my face is. So I'll avoid the mirror. Because I don't want to take time to clean my face. God, forgive us. God, forgive us. We remember, the whole underlying thing is that God is good. He's not wanting you to look in the mirror and say, you see how dirty you are? Now slap yourself. That's not what He's after. You see how dirty you are? Now get down and give me 20. That's not God at all. You see how dirty you are? Here, take this blood of the Lamb and wash yourself clean. Woo! And so rather than avoiding unpeeling of who we are in prayer, we ought to be running towards it with everything in us. I know that when I seek God to this level, even though I'm going to find a dirty, filthy sinner on the other side, over and above that, I'm going to find a God who's full of compassion. I'm going to find a God who loves me more than I could ever even imagine. I'm going to find a God who wants to restore. I'm going to find a God who wants to heal and forgive and revive. That's what I'm going to find. I'm going to find a filthy sinner, yeah, but I'm going to find everything I need to stand in His presence pure and be a recipient of all the goodness that He has for me. That's what I'm going to find. And so rather than shying away, well, I just don't know. If I go to those prayer meetings and if I seek God at that level, I don't know. It may put me in a level of accountability and responsibility that I'm just not ready for. My friend, God is not waiting to slap you on the other side of this. He's waiting to hug you. And so we run to Him. We don't run away from Him. We run towards Him with everything that we have. And so the second part of the action is not just the prayer itself, but the scripture says that we are called to seek His face. I like the song that we sang today. It says, we don't want blessings, we want You. Because really deep down we understand that when we find Him, the blessings fall in line. And so that's why we seek His face and not His hands. We want to know Him for who He is, knowing that His goodness is a part of the package, knowing that His forgiveness comes when we get to know Him, knowing that His revival and His healing and His blessing and all of those things that He wants for us and we want for ourselves, they come when we get the giver. We don't want the gifts, we want the giver. Because we understand when we get to know the giver, He brings His gifts with Him. Get that. We're not after just healings. We want the healer. We don't want just baptisms. We want the baptizer. We don't want just deliverance. We want the deliverer. Because when the deliverer is in the house, deliverance will come. When the baptizer is in the house, baptisms will occur. When the healer is in the house, healings will take place. And so we seek His face. God, I want to know You. I want to know You for who You are. Not just for what You can do. Not just for the blessings that You can pour out. I want to know You for who You are. We'll get to the blessings when we get the blesser in the house. And so, seek My face, He says. Think of it this way. Prayer is the doorway. It's what brings us into the vicinity of being able to access all that God has for us. Seeking His face is going beyond the doorway into the house. Can you imagine you go and you knock on the door and you say, hello, I'm at your house. And they say, come on in. No, I just wanted to stay here at your doorway. Well, why did you come here? Didn't you come to my house so that you could come in my house? Well, I just came just so that I could stand here in the doorway. But I've got dinner prepared. I mean, we had a wonderful night of fellowship in store, and you're just going to stand here in the doorway? And so prayer brings us to the doorway, and seeking His face says, I've got a destination in mind. Prayer brings us to the house. Seeking His face drives us towards the destination, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. So prayer is the means. And the very presence of God is the destination. You see, when we pray, keep this in mind as well. When we pray, it's not just some religious duty or some kind of spiritual exercise. God help our wonderful Catholic friends. And we have some friends who are Catholic, and if I'm picking on anybody, please, you're just going to have to forgive me or you can't go to heaven. But God forgive us. And it's not just our Catholics. There are some others in the whole sphere of Christianity that are similar to this too. They'll say, well, it's time to pray. And so they open up a book of prayers. God forbid that they, have to actually talk to. Well, what's the occasion? Oh, the occasion. Okay, here's something that fits the occasion. And so they'll read a prayer. And please understand, it doesn't mean that that can't be sincere. It can actually be very sincere. But if all it is just words in a book, if it's just a religious exercise, we're not accomplishing anything. You just as well be saying abracadabra, hocus pocus. It's just words. But when it transcends just words and actually becomes the cry of our heart and the desire and the compassion and the passion for God. You see, when we pray, we're actually going somewhere. I'm not just revving my engine. I'm actually going somewhere. I'm going towards God with all of my heart. And if prayer is the way that I got to get there, then so be it. I'm going to pray. And so God is saying, if my people would just pray and seek my face, This kind of seeking after God's face is, as we said, it's a desire to know who He is and not just what He can do. It's a desire to seek His face and not just His hands. It is an emptying of self that we might be filled with Him and consumed with His desires. Many times this kind of deep seeking after God is accompanied with fasting. That was what was mentioned in the passage in Joel. What is it? It wasn't just a call to pray and deep prayer and seeking after God and turning to Him with all of your heart. But one of the ways that we can demonstrate that is by fasting. Oh, I can't fast. I'm a diabetic. Well, there's something. There's got to be something that you can do. There's got to be something that means a lot to you that you can just lay aside. There's got to be something that's a normal part of your routine that you can just stop doing for a while. Not because we're trying to earn any favor with God. You don't please. God doesn't say, well, I'm pretty impressed with that. That's not it at all. It's a matter of saying, I need you more than I need fill in the blank. Food, TV, sports, whatever it is, lay something aside and say, God, I'm serious about this thing. You died for me. At least I can skip lunch, for goodness sakes. And so it's a commitment that says, I'm willing to be inconvenienced. It's a commitment that says, this is more than just skin deep. I'm willing to be uncomfortable over this thing if I have to. That's how much I want it. That's how much I want Him. And so prayer and fasting and seeking after God, they often go hand in hand. I read this statement and at first I said, that's really good. And then I said, ouch. And it simply said this: the degree to which the church fails to empty ourselves highlights the degree to which repentance is necessary. And so this whole process of humbly approaching God in prayer and seeking after His face and putting shoe leather to our commitment by willing to lay something aside and say, God, this is more than just words to me. It's more than just one night a week to me. If you don't go with me, I'm not going. It's that kind of commitment. It eventually has to become a part of our spiritual DNA, or we're going to find ourselves the same weak, inept, incapable church next week and next year that we are today. And God, help us. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm not willing to sign on to that. That's not what I'm here for. Times are too desperate. The world is too broken. Time is too short for that kind of Christianity. That's not what I signed up for, Brother Fred. I want Jesus. And nothing else is going to do. Nothing else is going to be a adequate substitute. Give me Jesus or nothing else. So with that in mind, haven't set the date yet because I want to talk to our leadership council and make sure that we're all on the same page and make sure our calendars are all clear. But with that in mind, when we get to the end of this series, I'm going to do like Joel did. We're going to call for a solemn assembly. And we're going to call for fasting. And I want you to hold me accountable because I'm going to hold you accountable. And we're going to call for deep commitment. I'm going to call for weeping if necessary. And I can tell you it's necessary. We're going to call for a commitment like maybe no one has ever asked you to commit to. And if you're not up for it, that's fine. We love you. We still want you to come and just sit and occupy your pew. But understand, that's not where we're going. Just prepare yourselves. We're going to call for a solemn assembly. A time for us to cooperatively humble ourselves before God. A time for us to pray in humility and seek His face with fasting. A time for us to hear and heed God's word. A time for repentance, corporate repentance and personal repentance. A time for us to receive forgiveness. Thank God. It's not just about self-flagellation. We're not just going to beat ourselves up, but we're going to be the recipients of forgiveness from God and from one another. It's going to be a time for making and renewing a solemn covenant with God. It's going to be a time for us to receive fresh blessing and fresh anointing that flows out of that covenant. There's the challenge. But even more, can I tell you? Let me encourage you. Don't wait until the official announcement of the solemn assembly. I would challenge you to begin even now to set yourself apart at that level. God, I want you. I understand that on the other side there's going to be blessing, but I'm not so much interested in the blessing as I am the blesser. I'm not so much interested in the healing. Even if I have to walk through the rest of my life with this sickness, I want to know you. Even if I have to endure for the rest of my life with this thorn in my flesh, whatever it is, I want to know you. And so it's not a matter of getting all the goodies on the other side. It's a matter of knowing Him. That's where we're headed. Anybody want to go? Oh, man, I'm telling you, it's the only way we're going to impact this community. It's the only way we're going to make a difference for Christ. I'm just going to be blunt. It's the only way we're going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There are a lot of religions that we could join that don't require anything of us other than just showing up. I'm not about that. I'm not at all interested in that. Anybody want to go? I want to go. I understand it's going to be uncomfortable. God may show us some things about ourselves that we don't like. He probably will, actually. But that's okay, because He's not waiting to slap us. He's waiting to embrace us. He's not waiting to condemn us. He's waiting to forgive us. Shall we go? If my people would just pray and seek my face. Shall we pray? Shall we seek His face? Let's stand. I'm going to have a closing prayer here. Can you put something on there, Jake? Thank you. I'm going to have a closing prayer. And you're welcome to pray this prayer with me at your seat. You're welcome to not pray this prayer at all. Or you're welcome to just join me here at the front. I'm not going to, if you want to grab hands, put an arm around someone, or just kneel and pray privately, however you want to do it, you're welcome to join me up here at the front as we make a public declaration. God, it's no more business as usual. I'm not interested in religion. I'm not interested in ineffective Christianity. I'm not interested in any of that. I want you. I want the giver understanding that the gifts come when the giver's in the house. I want the healer understanding that healing takes place when the healer's in the house. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we hear Your word very clearly today. And Lord, today we individually and corporately we confess that we are weak and powerless and ineffective, and it's because we haven't sought after You. It's because we've not committed ourselves in the ways that You're calling us to commit ourselves. And God, we're sorry. And Lord, I thank You that You're a God who's full of love and full of compassion, and You're not waiting just to smack us down, but You're waiting to lift us up. And so, Lord, we're lifted up today as we confess our own ineffectiveness and our own insufficiency. Lord, we are lifted up by You in Your presence. Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for what You're doing among us. And Lord, we commit ourselves right now. Lord, we commit ourselves independently, individually. We commit ourselves corporately as Love and Truth Community Church. We commit ourselves to praying and seeking after your face. Even if it means inconveniencing ourselves, Lord, we commit ourselves to that. Even if it means laying something else aside, we commit ourselves to that. Whatever it means and whatever it looks like on the other side, Lord, we commit ourselves to seeking after you like never before. Lord, if we're ever going to be impacting in this community, if we're ever going to see lives change, we've got to change. And so, Lord, today, we yield ourselves. Lord, you've poured out your Spirit. You've revived and you've revived your church throughout the centuries so many times. And Lord, you don't love those folks any more than you love us. And so, Lord, we say, here we are. Revive us. Take us through whatever we need to go through to get there, Lord, but revive us. Lord, if you don't go, we're not going. If you don't lead us, we're not going anywhere. Lord, revive us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Look, hug someone.